here. What's good, everybody? Welcome to 808s and Ankle Breaks, episode 46. I'm one of your hosts, co-editor-in-chief of the Amherst Wire, Jonathan Kerma. With me is my other host,
Trevor Wilson, entertainment editor for the Amherst Wire. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Episode 2 of season 3, episode 46 in reality. But, you know, because we all know you missed this last week. I know this bi-weekly thing, it's tough. It's tough on us, yeah. And it's tough on you.
Hopefully next week we'll actually have the podcast that's going to be alternating with us. But, you know, I'm going to keep that under wraps until it happens. But on today's episode, we got the slapper skip for you per usual. Later, we'll be talking about Kanye West's album, upcoming album, Jesus is King. We're going to be kind of talking about it. It's supposed to drop this Friday. Then we got to talk about JPEG Mafia's latest album, All My Heroes Are Cornballs. Me and Trevor both really enjoyed that, so we're going to be talking about it. And after that, we're going to kind of go over the NBA tampering rules, the new policy that was set in place by Adam Silver, and then we're going to get out of your ears. So let's do it, Trevor.
Let's kick it off.
Slap or skip. If you're new, I forgive you for not knowing what slap or skip is, but like...
Every week.
There's always a new one. But slap or skip is the weekly segment that we do where we take the hottest singles of the week, we give it a slap if we like it, a skip if we don't, a meh if it's in between, and we put a super on it if it's anything greater or lesser than slap or skippable.
If it's a super skip or a super slap.
You get it. Yeah. All right, so give us the songs, Trevor. Let's do it.
All right, so first track on this week's slap or skip, Sugar Honey Iced Tea by Princess Nokia. Kerm. What do you think?
Most definitely a slap. The instrumental gives me some Lizzo vibes and, you know, the poppy kind of funk throwback type of instrumental. And Princess Nokia just kind of does her thing on it. You know, one of the main themes in her first verse is like, you know, why are you hating on me when you could have been grinding the whole time? I always love when a rapper, you know, brings that up. The hook on this is so smooth, so effortless, and just so like... I guess sticky is the word, where it's just like, it's going to stay in your head. Mm. Super simple. Sugar Honey Iced Tea. These b****s want to fight me. It's just a great rhyme. Yeah. Super simple. And then our flows on both verses are just so nonstop. That's my best way to say it. It's got just this great energy to it. But what do you think, Trevor?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to give this a slap, too. You hit pretty much everything, like, right on the nose. Yeah, great beat. Super bouncy. Love the vibes on it. Definitely sounds like could be a radio hit for me. And like you said, like, I love the topics, the themes of both verses. She kind of gets into the love in the second half of it, dispels domestic abusers, you know, but she talks about a lot, but it seems very fluid. And like you said, her flow is just like, it's infectious. Like, she just has a great delivery on this track. So it's a slap for me. But moving on from there, new track from T Grizzly, Sadish. I don't know how to say it.
Sadish.
S-A-T-I-S-H.
English majors, yeah. Help us out. Linguistics majors, yeah. Help us out. I gave this one, I'm going to give it a slap. Overall, I love the message behind it. T Grizzly's kind of talking about, you know, mourning those around him that have passed away. Some because of him, where, you know, he might have been the target and someone else passed. There's like this great melody that comes after probably like the first minute or so of the track that I thought was like the hook, and I thought it was... so awesome that it should have been the hook, but he repeats the melody at the end, but it's not with the same lyrics that were, I think, much stronger than what comes at the end. So that's the only reason why I was hesitant, but overall, it's just a great message. The instrumental is both somber, but it's still got, you know, the trap tempo to it. So for that reason, I got to give it a slap.
Yeah. I'm feeling pretty much the same way. I think I'm going to lean more towards a meh. Though, I love the instrumental, super emotional. Like, I think he kind of, like, sets you up to feel the same way that he's feeling, sets you up to feel the same pain that he's feeling. But you mentioned that point about the chorus. It's just, that part for me, I feel like he's, like, trying to do so much in this song.
Yeah.
Feels a little bit too all over the place for me.
As I said, like, there really isn't a chorus.
Yeah.
The melody that I enjoyed, I think that should have been the chorus.
Right.
But I agree. I think it's more of a freestyle where he switches over to singing, but didn't really, like... think about structure that
yeah,
much.
Yeah, definitely not. It's still, like, a solid song. I just think, for me, it loses a couple points just because it just, I don't know, it's, like, just so all over the place. And I appreciate, like, what he's talking about, obviously. Very reflective, very personal, too, but I don't know. A little too scattered.
No,
but
I feel you.
Moving on from there, DaBaby, who's got an album coming out this Friday, the lead single off of it, Intro, which you can imagine will be the intro track.
Yeah. Kerm,
what do you think of this one?
So I want to give it a slap. I hate the fact that, like, if it's the intro track, the fact that he released it first with the title intro, like, I think you can release intro tracks as singles, but they shouldn't be labeled intro. That just, I was very confused by this. Like, but I'm going to give it a slap. While, you know, a lot of people I've seen on Twitter kind of complain that, you know, DaBaby uses the same flow all the time, this song is no different. The messaging behind it, and it's so much about his family, and just it reveals so many things, you know, that his father passed away, that his mother had cancer, talks about his daughter as well. It's very, it pulls on the emotional strings, much like T Grizzly's last song. And the instrumental is excellent as well. I love the little... it's like a vocal sample that they use as like the main melody of the beat. Awesome overall sound, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree. I'm giving this one a slap too. Like you said, I think the vocal melody, they change pitches a lot with it too. Sometimes a little higher, sometimes it's a little lower. But I think that plays off of what he's rapping about very well. And yeah, he does have the same flow, but I think this is like a new. This is so new for DaBaby. I mean, at least from what I've heard of his. Actually, a friend of ours, mutual friend of ours, was saying he watched an interview with DaBaby, and he was saying that a lot of his earlier stuff he's had to dumb down quite a bit. So I'm wondering if like this is like the beginning of that. You know, we're gonna see like a little bit more thought in his lyrics, a little bit more experimentation with what he talks about. So I think it absolutely could lead to that.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of people say right now, I don't know if they're saying he's like the best rapper alive, but they're talking about how like he's kind of like. Doesn't have a bad verse, and I think in terms of his mechanics, like while he uses that same flow a lot, where it's like he likes to almost like speed up and then like slow down at the same time, and in each bar, it's kind of hard to explain. It's his own unique flow, and it's kind of hard to, you know, hate on that. Like the Migos, they use their own signature flows, and when it's like your own flow, I guess you're kind of allowed to keep repeating
it. Keep doing it, for sure.
But I think he has potential to be like at in that consideration of like one of the best rappers alive if he really like steps up. What he's talking about
seriously.
In the songs. So I'm definitely interested to listen to this album.
Yeah, I mean, he said it could, he thinks at least it'll have the same generational impact that the Carter 3 did. I know you saw that tweet. Tell me you saw that.
I gotta hear it first. So next song.
Danny Brown making it back onto our list with his new track, Best Life. Kerm. Slap or skip?
So this one, I will admit, I want to give this another super slap like I did with the last track 2 weeks ago. The only reason I can't give it a super slap is because I haven't really looked into the lyrics enough just yet. You know, I've played this a couple times the past hour and a half, and I love the instrumental. Another weird one. This one gives like...
It sounds really old school.
It sounds like old school, like creepy suburbia. That's what the instrumental sounds to me. Like, it just gives me vibes of like... the suburbs, but in like an eerie way. And I just love the fact that Danny Brown continues to just use these weird beats to match his weird persona. Maybe you can kind of go over what he's talking about in the track, because I still haven't been able to peel the layers back enough.
I mean,
yet.
I honestly haven't really dove in that much into the lyrics either, but like I love his delivery on this. Like, I think the past two tracks to me sounds like he's taken on this, like, old-school persona, you know? And he's kind of rapping like that, too. You hear that in the hook a little bit. He's got this very staccato flow throughout the whole song. But it's another slap for me. I'm going to agree with you. Just overall, like, another solid track from Danny Brown. And I'm really looking forward to his new project now.
Yep.
But that concludes Danny Brown. Moving on, we've talked about these guys a couple times. Bay Area rap crew, SOBRBE, with their new track, Sensei. Kerm. Slap or skip?
I'm going to keep this short and sweet. Absolutely a slap for me. I think it's been all slaps today. Maybe I took a nap before this. That might be what it is. I'm feeling good today. But this track, it's a slap because it's just like the instrumental is so West Coast. It's just got that West Coast bounce to it. And these guys, they don't really miss. I love the fact that, you know, they don't all sound the same either. Each member kind of takes on their unique personas and deliveries in it. So overall, it was a slap for me.
Yeah. I'm gonna give it a meh. Only because I feel like this is just like more of the same that they've been putting out. I just haven't heard a ton of progression from it yet, but they have found their sound and they've mastered it at this point.
I don't even know if it's like they found their sound. It's just like because they are in the West Coast, like it is just they, you can tell exactly where they grew up as artists.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good point. But sometimes for me with SOBRBE, I feel like they're chasing the beat. But with this song, I feel like they weren't really doing that. I felt like they were really on pace the whole time. I guess my only complaint is it's just like nothing really off brand for them. Like they don't really do anything to step out of their comfort zone. But it's still a pretty good track. I'd still recommend you give it a listen. So, moving on, last track on the list, The Edge of New Clothes.
Yeah, so
Open Mike Eagle.
I did not hear this one. It's not available on Apple Music at the moment. So, Trevor, what'd you think of this one?
So, I'll take this one. I'm going to give this a slap. This song is crazy. So, Kerm and I were actually I didn't know why, but for those of you who are big hip-hop heads out there, music heads in general, you might know The Needle Drop, Anthony Fantano, pretty popular music reviewer. And the cover art for this song is The Needle Drop in his yellow flannel. And there's, it's pretty cool artwork, actually. It's this yellow backdrop, got all these flags in the background, too. But I guess it's for a benefit compilation that Anthony Fantano is curating. And I guess the proceeds go to, like, immigrant legal services, something like that. Yeah, so even more reason to love the track. But the track itself is absolutely a slap for me. I love the rhythm on this thing. I mean, the cymbals and the hi-hats just have such a great jazzy ride to it. And Open Mike Eagle just flows so effortlessly on it. He doesn't really change flows at all throughout the song. He keeps it pretty simple, but it's just a good listen. It's infectious. And I love that reverse piano melody that he has going on in the background too. So slap for me, all around really solid week of Slapper Skip yet again.
I have no complaints on this playlist, and I got to listen to the Open Mike Eagle song probably tonight on like YouTube or something.
Yeah, it's got to be on there.
Yeah.
But so that concludes Slapper Skip. We know that's your favorite section right there, but time to move into our favorite section, the main discussion.
You want to go JPEG first?
Yeah. So we said Kanye, JPEG, but we're going to start it off with JPEG Mafia, his newest album, All My Heroes Are Cornballs. And boy, all I got to say is Kerm and I have a lot to say about this album. Right. So I'm gonna pass the mic off to Kerm first. I'll let you kick it off with your thoughts. We'll just start. Expectations? Did it shatter those expectations?
I guess my expectations with JPEG Mafia is, for those that haven't listened to him before, he's, you know, this Baltimore-based rapper who's, like, as deep into, like, I don't want to say he's in the underground, he's, like, deep into, like, the interwebs of like, hip-hop. Like, when I think of JPEG Mafia, I just think the internet. I think of, like, subreddits. I think of just the way he makes his music. He loves to do a bunch of, like, crazy samples and just sounds, like, so internet. There isn't a better way to really say.
That's a really good
really
way
say
to put it.
So going into this album, I expected more of that, and I got a lot of that. But what really impressed me more than anything was the kind of the duality of the album, where it almost feels like I was supposed to write a review for this album. Didn't happen, but I can still use my intro, I guess. It feels almost like you're walking on a tightrope between, you know, heaven and hell, essentially, where it's like there are some moments that are just so beautiful on this album, and it's just like, it's still, his lyrics are still hyper-violent, but like the beauty behind the instrumentals is crazy, and then you get these much darker sides of the album, but we'll get more into that after. But what were your overall expectations?
So I think I was kind of in the same boat. Like, I didn't really know much about this guy going into the album. Like, I'd heard the song 1539 and Calvert. I don't know if it's North Calvert or whatever, but I've heard that song and I really liked it. I think that's much more of a generic mainstream sounding song. It has more of that appeal than the rest of this album does, but I honestly didn't know what to expect going into it. Kerm just texted me saying he was listening to it, and he told me to be ready when I was listening to it. And I don't think I was ready for how good this album turned out to be. Mm-hmm. Like, from front to back, in 45 minutes, it is such an experience.
Yep.
Like, it's crazy how many different instrumentals there are, how he chooses to use his voice throughout the whole album.
All self-produced,
which is insane. I saw this stat a friend of mine sent to me over the weekend, and it said there's something like 44 different instrumentals on this album.
Wow.
And that equates to like 2.5 different instrumentals per song.
That's one thing we definitely should mention early. Like, it feels like there's no song on this album that you can just be comfortable in. Like, it might be 30 seconds in, it might be a minute and a half in, it might be in the last 30 seconds, but the beat switches are constant, and you can never be prepared for a song. You don't know what's coming next with this album.
Yeah, seriously. Like, the best examples, or some of, at least, the best examples I can think of that is, like, the intro track, Jesus Forgive Me, I'm a Thought, like, starts off, like, this really bright, soft piano in the background. He comes in, and then it just, like, boom, it hits you in the face when it gets into the chorus. I don't even know if it's the chorus. I don't think it is. Like, so it's the pre-chorus, I think.
Yeah,
but
when I was writing this, it was like, the reason why I didn't finish the story is because I spent like 400 words on just the first minute of this song, Jesus, Forgive Me, I'm a Thought. So, like, as Trevor said, you know, it starts off with this punk rock sound, almost like
sounds a like a concert. Riot. Yeah, like it's a riot or
about to get kick off. Then this, you know, dark piano, or this gloomy, like, piano melody comes in. And then, right as you're starting to get comfortable with him, you know, just kind of rapping over it, chilling, starts yelling, and a bunch of distortion comes in. And then, right when you're really trying to finally grasp that, now the melody turns into this heavenly instrumental.
Totally,
and he's singing,
breaks down.
And he's singing lyrics that I've never heard another rapper sing about. He talks about, tell me how to keep my I've never heard a straight male rapper rap about his and I'm all for it. Like, it's just so unique and it's so different that, like, I've never heard it before.
Approximately 10 hours later.
But yeah, so like that song, that's only in a minute.
Yeah.
Then you got the next track, Keenan and Kel, which is like
absolutely
split,
insane.
Split right in the middle, precisely in the middle. The first half's this, you know, calm and calmer instrumental where JPEG is kind of talking about a couple, like, I don't know if they're insecurities or the idea that, like, he can't really feature with other artists. Struggles with, like, making instrumentals, it seems like. Then out of nowhere, these loud horns, almost like a prison break, like, horn, like, starts just beating in the speakers. And then, you know, JPEG starts screaming, going crazy. While the song doesn't really talk about Keenan and Kel, I just love Keenan versus Kel. It, like, I guess it represents, like, the duality between it. That's, you know, what he said in an interview with, or in a conversation with Denzel Curry on YouTube. But that's a great track. What other
tracks? The next track that I feel like best represents that duality is Beta Male Strategies. It's got this just, like, super smooth, just really pleasant vocal sample in the beginning, and then out of nowhere it just cuts off completely and it goes full just like darkness and just grunge. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then right at the end of the track, guess what? He brings the vocals back in again. You're like, I don't know how to feel. Like, you really, like, don't know how to feel listening to this. I feel like I listened to this album, like, that weekend you told me to listen to it, like, 12 times, and I felt 12 different things every time I listened to it.
It's been in my rotation. The album's been out for a week and a half now, and Friday it would be 2 weeks. I've played at least a couple songs from it every day, and it's so hard to get bored of it. And just the fact, as we said, it's so unpredictable. Each instrumental has so many different layers to it that it's like you keep on noticing different details as you listen. You know, maybe one time when you're listening, you're not paying as much attention to the random skits, or sometimes, like, they're...
Can I get a...
Yeah. He's got, like, a random random sample of his friend ordering something at Wendy's. Like, that's something, like, when you might listen the first time, you're like, why is that there? And then you go and listen to, like, his YouTube video explaining, like, why it's there, and you're like, oh, now that means something a little different. Yeah. So the way he thinks as an artist is just amazing, where you can tell he just kind of, he wants to just sneak in as many, what are they called in video games? Easter eggs as possible in his album. And it's just, it's really grand. I love the fact that it's also, you can just tell he is so, I'm not even gonna say he's against it. He's just not in the mainstream. Like, it's not like, I don't know if he's,
but he embraces that the whole album.
I don't know if he sits
that
back at home and is like, you know what? I'm not going to sound like Drake. I'm not going to sound like Kanye. Or he just naturally does it and he refuses to sound like that. But overall, just a phenomenal album.
Yeah. Like,
any other tracks you want to talk about specifically?
I guess the self-titled track, All My Heroes Are Cornballs. When I listened to this album the first time, I replayed that track like 10 times. I replayed it 10 times. It's just so catchy. That instrumental is crazy. Yeah, that's probably my go-to. That and Free the Frail are probably my go-tos off this album.
Free the Frail's up there for me. He's got, you know, this acoustic guitar going. He's got
And I love when he sings on it. It sounds so good when he sings on it.
Her name, I guess, Helena Deland. I don't know the artist, I'm sorry. But yeah, her vocals sound beautiful on that. And like, yeah, that track is, it feels like it's almost like an outlier from the rest of the album, and just in terms of how beautiful it is without really much of like that aggressiveness at all on that track that I can remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
I would say my go-to, like, it's crazy. I don't know if it's just like every time I hit shuffle, it keeps coming on first, but Rap, Grow Old, and Die times
that song's
No
crazy.
Child Left Behind, I've clicked on like 20 times. Another one with like, just the instrumental just switches so much, and it's just so, I don't like just the cop-out of saying it's so internet, but it's just like, I don't know how to explain it. It's so internet, it's so futuristic, but it's almost like futuristic in the way, let me think of like the movie WALL-E or the movie Mad Max Fury Road, in terms of like where it's like, it's grimy and like it's like different futuristic, I guess, pieces of metal being put together to make something, you know, beautiful that wouldn't naturally just come together. I guess that's my best way to explain it.
The like exact opposite of something that would be on Igor. You know, like if Igor is about the heartbreak, like this is about like, I don't know. Sounds like just you're murdering somebody.
Yeah. We should address the lyrics. I think JPEG Mafia as a lyricist is like
he's getting there.
Not that he's getting there because I don't want to disrespect him and act not like I think he's a more than capable lyricist. Like I think he's definitely a step above like the Lil Yachty's, the Uzi's, 21 Savages, which also I'm not taking anything away from them. But in terms of like, you know, how complex the themes are, I think JPEG Mafia doesn't really push himself as much on this project. I think in his previous projects, he has more out there songs like Let's Hit a Lick on the White House or songs like, what's it titled? Like Drake Era, where he's rapping about how he's not, or how he's trying to take us out of the Drake era in a way. But for this one, there's no real, like, it seems like the themes are a little harder to find beyond just
it's
like.
It's a little bit like self-obsessed. Like, I feel like he's talking about himself and how he's like so different from everybody else a lot, which is like.
Also,
totally
a lot of gun references and a lot of violent references, but they do feel different than a lot of other rappers' violent raps. And it's hard to put a finger on it. I think it's also the fact that he mixed in lines like I talked about. Tell me how to keep my clothes. Like it's just like some of the ways he raps about himself and other people is just different.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, that's all I got to say about JPEG Mafia. So.
Don't be surprised if it's in my top 10 at the end of the year.
I think it's already in my top 10, like, without a doubt. The first time I listened to it, shot straight up to my top 3.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to come down. At least I hope not. Yeah. But moving on from JPEG Mafia, Kanye West dropping Jesus is King, hopefully, this Friday. We all remember what happened the last time he was supposed to drop an album.
Yeah.
Last year, he was supposed to drop Yandy. And it kind of just fell away. It just never disappeared, turned to ashes, and just went with the winds of the universe. But here we are with Jesus is King. Kerm, what in the world are we supposed to expect out of this album?
I mean, if we're going off of the Kanye West church services that have been, you know, you've seen clips of online, there's been some interesting sounds. I know one of the first clips I saw that where, like, Kanye was, like, I think he was on like an organ and he kept on stepping in rhythm. And the instrumental, it sounded like it combined both like traditionally African music with black gospel music. Mm. And I'm not gonna lie, the instrumental sounded amazing. But I really don't know what to expect. I don't know if that's gonna be if he's gonna be going gospel this whole project. I mean, based on the title of the album, you could assume that
it just could totally be like a Christian rap album.
But
yeah.
I don't know. I really don't.
Yeah, seriously. I feel like no doubt in my mind the production is gonna be impeccable. Like Kanye usually delivers on the production. But man, I feel like this album could either be like a classic or just like a complete just the lowest point in Kanye's musical career. At least. Compared to like Ye, compared to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, because I think Ye is when you really start to see Kanye fall off more as like a songwriter, even though he didn't even write most of the lyrics off of Ye.
I mean, with Ye, you can just, it feels like it's incomplete. I think that's one thing that was kind of clear. And if anything, the trend that Kanye has been on, the last two albums that he's put out, it when they were first released, they just didn't seem complete.
No.
The Life of Pablo, he went and fixed it a lot. Yeah. He kept changing it up. And then, he didn't really make any changes to it. Or did he make... I think he might have made a couple changes, but not as noteworthy.
It just sounded incomplete.
Yeah.
Like, whereas The Life of Pablo was, like, deliberately incomplete, and he, like, went back and updated it. Ye from the jump just sounded like he spent like 30 minutes making it.
It definitely, it had like pieces and elements from other albums, it felt like, but it didn't have anything that made it like
cohesive.
Completed Kanye project.
Right.
So I really don't know what to expect. I do have a theory, though, which I don't even know if this is totally a unique theory. I probably saw it on a YouTube video or something. So if someone finds
it's Inception,
and
you think you came up with it yourself?
It's because it feels like this is too complete of a thought for me to have just come up with it right now. It feels like so maybe I'm quoting someone by accident. Please don't call me a plagiarist, because I'm literally saying right here that there's a chance that someone else could have came up with this thought already. But I think you could argue that this is all a ploy, where the whole album what's the name of the album? Jesus is King is a way to both get MAGA fans.
You definitely saw that on Twitter, because I saw that
thank you. I was like, I've definitely seen it somewhere. Thank you. Yeah. So whoever tweeted it out, great point, because now it's had me thinking about it clearly, but where it's a way to get both MAGA fans and the black community to support this album. Because, I mean, everybody is supposed to love Jesus in America.
2020.
So it's pretty hard to just straight up hate on an album like this.
Yeah.
So there's a way that could be like a ploy. I personally, with Kanye, I've been, you know, fed up with the games ever since, obviously, the whole MAGA hat thing. And I understand that he might be a mentally ill individual, but I'm still going to listen to the album at least. And if I enjoy it, I enjoy it. Those are my final thoughts.
I'm with that, bro.
I'm not going to just gas it just because we know Kanye is a musical genius does not mean that everything he makes is of God.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this album sounds, and then
if it actually comes out, which I hope it does. I mean, Kanye doesn't. He's been out of the public eye for the past few, more than a few months, months.
Besides
like,
the church, the service
Sunday
videos.
He's been very quiet lately. So who knows? But yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting much. Like, to be honest, like, I feel like this is like the least I've cared about a Kanye album, like, ever in my life.
Yeah.
So
still gonna go number one.
Oh,
though, so.
Yeah, most likely. That'll wrap up our main discussion on the 808 side of things. Now we're going to move into ankle breaks. We got a brief little discussion about tampering.
Oh, super brief.
Yeah,
super
it brief, was a but hot topic last season. I mean, LeBron was eating dinner with people. Magic made one comment, and, like, that was worthy of a fine. Yet, free agency starts, and all these guys are already signed.
Yeah, they
crazy.
Within, like, 2 minutes of
it
being free agency, Woj had, like, 10 tweets off. So I don't know how that happened. If there was no tampering, so
which is probably one of Woj's greatest performances to this day.
Oh yeah, no, like, that was a flawless shooting performance.
He waxed Shams. It wasn't even close.
Flawless shooting performance.
He was on top of it. Like, every notification first was Woj, Woj, Woj. It was Woj bomb after Woj
that
bomb.
Was like
just a complete.
He had his Klay,
like,
Thompson 63 point game.
Just a complete carpet bombing.
No dribbles.
Of Woj.
No dribbles.
Tweets. Yeah.
All no makes. All makes. No, I'm hearing reports. Nah. KD, Kyrie, DeAndre Jordan to the Nets. Big three. Boom. But
it was on Friday, so last Friday, this most recent Friday, that Adam Silver addressed owners and board members, and he announced some changes that would be coming to the tampering rules, making them stricter and hopefully discouraging people from tampering, which we'll see how that goes.
And do you have some
of
the rules?
Yeah, from NBA.com. So what they're thinking is an increase in fines for tampering, for entering into unauthorized agreements with players, and even for talking about players under contract elsewhere. That was the measure that passed unanimously, according to Adam Silver, with a vote of the Board of Governors. Final figures are still going to be determined, but reports say that the maximum fines could be as high as $10 million for tampering, $6 million for improper deals, and $5 million for comments enticing other teams' players. Okay. Man.
All right.
Yeah, see?
Okay.
And tough penalties matter, but how are they going to enforce this? I mean, they barely enforced it last year.
Yeah.
Like, You know, like Magic made what? Some one comment, and that was worthy of a fine. Yet, like, people are taking other people out to dinner. Yeah. Like,
I think it's definitely going to be a tough thing to police.
Right. Especially with the free agency this season. I think that brought a lot of questions about it, too. It's just like you were seeing guys sign left and right. You were like, whoa, this was decided already? Yeah. Like, it's giving, I feel like it's giving some of these smaller market teams, like, no chance at all.
It's arguable. We were kind of talking about this before we went on air too, with Pat, our producer as well, and the fact that like, if everyone's doing it, how is it a disadvantage? It's just like if you're playing by the rules and choosing to not partake in the tampering, then you're costing yourself an opportunity.
Yeah.
So I guess if you're the commissioner of the league, you kind of have to step in and look at it as well. If I don't set this rule, then there's the good guys are just gonna take the L every time. Like the Lakers, it's funny because, you know, we've been talking about the tampering this season, but in like, I think the summer of 2016, 2017, I think the year LeBron went back to Cleveland, like the Lakers, they didn't do any tampering. And then we end up with, it wasn't the year LeBron went back to Cleveland because we signed Timothy Mozgov. But, I just remember that summer, it was like all these good players are gone just like that. But the Lakers get nobody but Timothy Mozgov and Luol Deng. Because, you know, they didn't partake in tampering. Yeah. So it's like, I get why he needs to step in. But if anything, I would say go the opposite route and just say tampering is totally okay. You can talk to these teams. You can talk to these players when and whenever because, you know, they're grown-ass men and you guys are grown-ass men. So, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, here's another crazy part of this, and I think you mentioned this earlier, was that Silver confirmed that he has the power to take people's cell phones, tablets, and other devices.
I don't think, like, I guess I'm not in the NBA, but that just doesn't sound like...
That sounds ridiculous, bro.
Like, imagine any other job they said that to you. Like, I have the power to take your phone away. Like, what are you talking about? I'm about to clock out and take my phone right back. Like, I don't know. Like, that just doesn't really make much sense to me. Overall, this is, like, especially once you add the cell phone thing into this, this just sounds like a dumb rule. But we'll see.
Oh, the phone... Yeah, seriously.
Sounds like some high school shit.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the meeting. Please place your phones in the basket. Thank you.
but is that all we got to talk about this week?
For basketball, I mean, that's all I think that's worth mentioning. There's some small deals that happened today, but I don't think anything really worth mentioning.
I guess the only thing, I guess I don't really want to have a full story on this or discussion on this, but Andre Iguodala will not be showing up to the Grizzlies training camp at all. So clearly they're planning on trying to trade him. I really don't know if they're going to get anything for him in a trade, so they might end up having to waive at the end of the day, but he's not playing for the Grizzlies. Like, that's 100% confirmed if it wasn't already.
Yeah, and I'm not entirely sure if this was already announced, like, at the end of the NBA season, but Sean Livingston's retiring.
Oh, yeah, he announced that.
It this past week, so... Dude, I loved Sean Livingston. He was... he was a mid-range killer. Like, it's all good.
You're good. You have two Sean Livingston jerseys? Which ones?
Ooh.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah, that is dope. The Clippers one has a little bit of bad juju with it after he snapped his leg in half. But still a very illustrious career as a vet, mid-range deadeye. As we said, I remember, I forget what finals it was. It might have been the last of the Cavs-Warriors saga. But he had one game where he was just unbelievable. Just could not stop missing from mid-range. And I was convinced, mid-range god, Sean Livingston. But I think that'll wrap up this week's episode, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for tuning in.
Yes, sir.
Once again, we'll send you this friendly reminder that we will not be back next week, but the week after. Mm-hmm. We're going bi-weekly if you didn't catch the first episode. But... once again, thank you very much for tuning in.
Yep, we got other podcasts for you. We got the Zoo Report that should be out tomorrow. Editor in Chief podcast every Tuesday, and we got more coming. We'll still keep that under wraps until everything's officially, you know, settled. But yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Peace.